give them another hand. Great job this morning. Would you take the Word of God this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. The message this morning is coming from a two-chapter kind of synopsis by Paul on the matter of giving. And we could go to the Old Testament this morning, and we could talk about giving all the way throughout the Scriptures. Obviously, the history of giving in the Scriptures is deep and long, and it is something that would take weeks and weeks and weeks to study through. And I don't know that we're there as a church. We're not necessarily needing to do a complete Bible study all the way through the matter of giving. Sometimes we'll do what we call a stewardship month, and we'll talk about the matter of giving and talking about the matter of sacrifice and those kinds of things. And we might do that down the line and be creative and do some things like that. But what I want to do this morning is just give you a challenge on the matter of giving. I would imagine in this auditorium right here that this message is simply a confirmation of things you already know. The problem is, in the matter of giving, is sometimes our knowledge of giving doesn't match our practice of giving. I talked to the folks on Wednesday night about analytics. How many of you ever heard the term analytics before? My analytic person in the auditorium would be Mitchell. He is studied analytics. He is I would call him an analytic expert. He is now a college graduate and has studied many of these things while he's been in college. And so we were talking on Wednesday about analytics. And he gave me a one-word definition. Mitchell, what's our one-word definition? You said numbers first, but then you said patterns of numbers. So analytics is what you would say, what somebody would say, okay, every time this team plays this team, they do this in the field, or they might, this guy has hit to left field 9 out of 10 times he hits the left field, so all the fielders would shift over, and you see these infield shifts when you go to baseball games. It's because the coaches have studied analytics. If a person hits it to left field or hits a grounder to that spot 90% of the time, it's a pretty good chance you should probably put a fielder in that spot. The way that they arrive at that is by analytics. Well, analytics can be given to any area to be able to understand things. And so, as a pastor, I study analytics. Brother Pete Anthony is our Sunday school, I guess you'd call him our Sunday school supervisor. He helps us keep all the numbers and attendances and all of the offerings going in the right direction for our Sunday schools. And so he keeps records, and once a quarter he gives me a readout and bar graphs and all these things of classes and if they're growing, if they're not growing, how many have they averaged each and every week that quarter. And so it's helpful to me as a pastor. You know, maybe Brother Dwayne's had a down quarter. I go to Brother Dwayne and I say, is there anything I can do? Is there who's missing? What's happening? And he can kind of go back and call people or write a letter or visit somebody. And so we have analytics to help us with that, so that when we see a downturn or something, or we see an uptick on something, why are we successful? What's happening? What are we doing in that area? Why are the buses successful this month? Why are the buses growing this month? Okay, so we had some promotion. We had they did some extra visiting. They knocked on a few more doors. They challenged the young people. They gave out some rewards. So do you understand what I'm saying about analytics? Well, sometimes analytics is not just to show us how to be successful. It shows us when we're not being successful. And so I went to Brother Dave last week and I said, Brother Dave, I'm concerned about the offerings. And I said, I think this happened last May, around this time of year. And so he dug out the numbers from last year, and then he punched in the numbers from 2014. And it's amazing. January, February, March, April, we are on budget. We were doing very well. Matter of fact, we are on budget this year. 2014, we are at $4,200 a month. In March in 2016, 2 years later, we're at $4,300. A little concerning because we were averaging 144 people in March 2 years ago. We're averaging 177 people, but we're averaging the same exact finances. So that's a little concerning. Now that uptick in numbers might be that we are bringing in more children on the buses. That's very possible. But if you see an upturn in attendance, so in May of 2014, we were averaging 151 people. This past May, this May, we are averaging 185 people. So that is 34 people difference, 35 people increase in attendance from 2 years ago. We are averaging 35 more on a Sunday morning than we were 2 years ago. And the offerings in May of 2014 were 3,800. We're averaging this month 3,200. 2 years later, 34 people more, and we are $500 in average under what we were 2 years ago in finances. So pastor got a hold of the analytics. And only to say this, we're growing spiritually. I believe we are growing spiritually. I mean that with all my heart. I wouldn't just say that. I'm not here to patronize you. I believe the spirit of our church is much better than it was 2 years ago. I thought it was great 2 years ago, but I think it's even better now. Even 2 years later, I believe that we're growing numerically. I believe we're seeing more people. We've been averaging in the last few weeks. We had 166, and we had 211. Last week we had 201. So we're not only growing spiritually and in the spirit of our church, but we're growing numerically. We're growing, and that's what you want to see in a church. You want to see more people coming, more people under the influence of the Word of God, and that's always a great thing to see, the numerical growth of the church. I believe that we're growing in our love for one another. I believe that the love of our church is strong, and that we care about each other, and that we're concerned what happens to each other. And I believe when I went to the hospital, I just felt so much love from our church and care for my family. And I hope you feel that way when things happen in your life. But the one area we're not growing in, and this is where I'm preaching the whole counsel of God, if we're growing spiritually, if we're growing numerically, if we're growing emotionally together, and we're serving one another, we're out in our community serving, and we're doing more in our community than we've done in a long time, and our communication, I'm sending out the calls, and our communication seems to be growing, and we're sending out emails and those kinds of things. And so we're growing in all of these areas, and I'm very concerned because at this time of the year, every year, it seems that we're not growing in this area financially. We are struggling financially. And listen, the only thing that happens when we struggle financially is it just ties our hands as a church. When you're in a mode of helping others and benevolence, and you're out there trying to help the community, and you're trying to help church members and those kinds of things, when folks don't give, we could end up today with a $7,000 offering, and you say, pastor, we gave, that was kind of, didn't need to do that. And you might be right. But it is concerning to me that every year at this time, and when you see a 3-year pattern of March is 4,200, April's 4,000, then the bottom drops out in the month of May and the month of June. I just want to call our attention to it. I realize that there are vacations coming. I realize that you have so many things that you're responsible for. I know that there's mortgages. I know that taxes are due around this time of the year. And I know there's a lot of things that come up at this time of the year. And so this isn't a message of condemnation. This isn't a message. The Bible says if you're saved, there is no condemnation. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to guilt you into giving. I talked to our folks on Wednesday just for a few minutes about the obligation of giving by grace. It is an obligation in a church to give. And this isn't a command. Because grace and commands don't go together. So I'm asking the Lord to help you grow in grace in this area. That when all of these other expenses are due and all of these other things are happening around you and you've got a vacation coming and you've got things on your plate that you didn't expect, that the thing that we don't give up and the thing that we don't back out on is giving to God. Because in this church, Paul said it in the book of Corinthians. He said, we live by the gospel we preach. Pastor Lear and myself, or the two on the pastoral staff here at the church, we live by our preaching. If you got offended today and you left our church today, guess what? You've affected our salary. and we understand that. And here's the hard thing about sometimes being a Baptist preacher in an independent Baptist church is preaching what you're supposed to preach with the understanding that folks cannot give if they don't want to and they can leave if they want to. But the Bible also tells me that not to live in the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That I believe if I preach the truth in love, that God's people will respond the right way. And that's my job, to preach the whole counsel of God. And when there's an area of concern, and when there's an area that I see that needs to be preached on, and see that needs the help from God in this area, we need the grace of God in this area. When that happens, it does worry me a little bit. And I know coming to the pulpit today that folks don't come to church to hear about money. I'm the first one to understand that. I'm the first one to believe that. I'm the first one to practice that. I don't try to talk about money a lot in this church because it does get tiring talking about money. You got bills to pay, you think about money. You got rent and mortgages to pay, you think about money. You're running a business, you think about money. You go to the grocery store, you're thinking about money. Pinching pennies and all those kinds of things. So I know you don't come to church for us to drag finances through all the time. But I hope that you'll give me the grace as your pastor to preach on this today. That you'll give me the grace to be able to draw your attention to some things. That it's not only an obligation, but what an opportunity to give by grace. There is a great opportunity to move forward as a church. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. 20% of us doing the giving cannot do it. Can we meet budget with 20% of the people giving? I believe we can. I believe if the budget's 4,300 budget on a weekly basis. Can we make it on $3,500 a week? Sure. That extra $800 usually goes towards the mortgage or saving up for something so we can do a project or we can do some mainstream. Can we make it on $3,000 a week? We've done it. And we'll continue to do it. But I want to draw your attention that we can't move forward if you don't take the opportunity to give. We cannot get things done and get out in our community and make a difference out there if the giving is not done by God's people. There's not somebody I call up at the end of the week and say, hey man, we were $500 short, we were $600 short over the last 2 weeks, we were $1,700 short 1 week and $1,600 short the other week. I don't call somebody and say, hey, we got a shortcoming of $3,300, could you send the check? We are an independent Baptist church, and that is by choice. We don't want somebody else telling us what to preach. We don't want somebody else telling us what to do. We don't want the government coming in. We don't want a headquarters. We don't believe that somebody in Missouri can tell us what we need here in Lakeville, Pennsylvania. So we do that ourselves. We are self-governed by the congregation, by pastors, and by your votes and those kinds of things. But we are also operating by your giving. And that's what I want you to understand. You operate your home by what you are given. You operate your home by what God gives you. We operate the house of God by what you give. And our pastoral staff gives, and we have folks that give, and we're so thankful for your giving and obedience and those kinds of things. But I want to draw your attention to a couple things today. If you talk about the obligation, I gave these points the other night. I'll give them very quickly to you. Number one, in our obligation, giving by grace is not eliminated by poverty. Sometimes as a pastor, I hear people say things like, well, I don't have it to give. I'm going to reason with you from Scripture that God says for us to give out of our first fruits. So before you paid the electric bill, before you wrote the mortgage check, and before you paid your taxes, you had it.
Yeah. Amen.
So when folks say, I don't have it to give, you are saying, I put other things before my giving to God. And God says that we are supposed to give out of the first fruits. We're supposed to make Him the priority. It is our obligation that we stop first before we do anything else. And it is our obligation before God to give Him the first fruits. So when we say, I don't have it to give, we are simply admitting that giving to God is not the priority. And listen, that's not to condemn you. That's to draw your attention to, if you will take care of God first, if you will give God His 10%, if you will sacrifice, the Bible says, tithes and offerings, if you will step out there by obedience and step out there and trust in God and giving Him the first fruits on the first day of the week, when God gives it to you, you give it back to Him. If you will trust Him for that, I promise you, by the authority of God's Word, that He will take care of you. It's not the pastor's going to take care of you. It's not that I'm going to come up with some way to make it happen for you. I'm saying if you will trust God, God promises you in His Word that if you will make Him the priority, if you will keep to your obligation of giving to Him, that if you will say that I might not have a lot, but God gets His first. Giving by grace, the obligation of giving by grace is not eliminated by poverty. The Bible says here in chapter 8, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you it to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep," what's the next word there? "Poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." These people of Macedonia, he said, are an example to us because even though they have deep poverty, they gave liberally. Isn't that? Those two words don't go together. Poverty and liberally. But the Bible says these people of Macedonia did not stop, did not say at the end of their, "Well, I only have $100 left and I can't possibly give that to God." They said, "We are going to give God first, even though we have deep poverty, even though there's things we will have to sacrifice. I will not be able to have cable television. I will not be able to have go out to eat four times this month. I'll not be able to. But I know one thing. I'm going to give God His because that's my obligation, even though it's not eliminated by your poverty. It's not eliminated by what you don't have." Number two, I love this phrase, "The economy may change your standard of living." How many understand what that means? I remember back in 2008, my standard of living changed. Car-wise and gas-wise, and we just had to make some changes. We loved shopping at certain stores, but found ourselves at Aldi's more often than not. And man, I love Aldi's, man. 69 cents for 7 pounds of meat or something like that. I don't know what's in that meat, but man, I know when I'm walking out with 7 pounds for 60 cents. That's a good deal, man. I don't know why it says mystery meat on it, but we're going to eat it, man. They said there's chicken, beef, and something else parts in there. I'm good. As long as it's an animal, we're good. But sometimes the economy changes your standard of living. We as a family, spaghetti's become my favorite meal. We eat spaghetti a lot. You know, we eat hot dogs and macaroni and cheese because the economy changes our standard of living. But can I tell you this? The economy never changes my standard of giving.
Amen.
I give God the same sacrificial percentage that I gave when the economy changed. That percent giving to God, did the amount lower? Yes, because my finance lowered. We took pay cuts here at the church, and we are fine with that. I'm not saying that for you to say boo-hoo and woe is you and all that stuff. We are more than happy when the economy changed. We all backed our salaries off. Teachers included. Everybody backed off their salaries to a standard of living because the economy changes our standard of living. But I didn't say, "Well, I was giving 14% to God, or I was giving 18% to God, or I was giving 22% to God, and now that I don't have a lot now, I'm not going to give 22%. No. We changed our standard of living. We did not change our standard of giving. And may I challenge you with that today? That you might have to sacrifice some things, and you might have to drive a vehicle that's a little bit older, and you might live in a house that doesn't have the latest setups, and you might have a TV that's not the biggest or the brightest or the LCD or the cable television. You might not have the filet mignon for dinner. You might have to have the hamburgers two or three nights a week, or you might have to do this. It might change your standard of living, but can I promise you by the authority of God's Word that He will take care of you if you don't change your standard of giving? The obligation of giving by grace, these Macedonian people are a great example in their deep poverty. The Bible says, abounded unto the riches of the liberality. Number two, giving by grace is not energized by pressure. It's not energized by pressure. Look at verse number 3 there. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." This group of people in these churches, these Macedonian churches that Paul is coming through, Paul doesn't say, "Man, I had to berate those people. Man, I'm telling you, I had to pound on them and pound on them and pound on them to come on and give, man. I'm eating spaghetti, man. Could you please give me some more money?" Paul said, "I didn't have to pressure them."
Man, I'm tired of hot dogs, people. Could you just give a few more dollars, please? I would like to give Brother Dave more than $4.50 a week. Could you please just give some more offerings, please? Come on.
No, listen. If I've got to stand up here and pressure you, it will last as long as I can pressure you. But the Bible says that the people of Macedonia were not energized by pressure. The Bible says they were willing of themselves to give. If you can't catch a glimpse of the grace of God today, if you can't see that God has been good to you, if you can't see that we are a blessed country and a blessed people, and that doesn't energize you to come to church and pull out your 10%, pull out your 15%, your tithe, your offerings, your missions, something to the building fund, if that can't energize you, then I'm not going to be able to pressure you. And oh my, I've been in churches and it is absolutely miserable when the pastor pressures and pressures and pressures and pressures. Listen, I realize you'll not come to church long being pressured. Mm-hmm. And maybe out of respect, and maybe out of loyalty, and maybe out of obligation, you'll feel, well, the pastor said something again, I probably ought to give. And after 2 weeks, when the pastor stops pressuring, you won't give. But if every time you write that check, and every time you give that offering, if it's with the idea that God has been good to me and my family, and God has protected us, and God loves us, and God has given us a home, and God's given us a vehicle, and God's given us a country that we have liberties. And every time you give, it's out of a love for Him. It's out of a deep love for God. Then nobody has to pressure you. Amen. Because giving to God is not eliminated by your poverty, and it's not energized by pressure. But let me say this, giving by grace is not excused by performance. It's not excused by performance. You know, some people, they give to charity. They'll clean out their garage and they'll give to St. Jude, St. Paul, whatever. What is that? St. Vincent, St. Paul? St. Vincent, St. Paul. They'll give to the Salvation Army. They'll give to Goodwill. They'll give a bag of groceries to somebody. They'll do some things. They'll come around the church and they'll clean the church, or they'll do a project or something, or they'll and they'll teach a Sunday school, or they're involved in the choir. And here's what their mind says: well, I gave. I gave of my time. I gave of my talents. I gave of my abilities. That's what I'm giving to the church. I mean, I made food for the dinner, and I gave a food for so-and-so's. They were in a bad way, and I made a meal for them. And all of a sudden, we get this idea that we're excused by our performance. We'll look at verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything. He says, you abound in faith, and abound in utterance, and abound in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, your performance to us, your words to us. You helped us along our way. You gave us new clothes for our journey. You gave us, maybe you gave us something for our journey. He says, but this, see that ye abound in this grace also. Church of Corinth, you've abounded in everything, in faith and utterance and diligence and in love for us. But you got to pay attention to this area too. You need to abound in giving. Abound in this grace. Those churches in Macedonia, they gave to us liberally out of their deep poverty. They didn't have much, so our giving is not excused by poverty. He said they were willing of themselves to give to us. We didn't even pressure them. They just gave because they loved the Lord. He says, make sure that you abound in this grace also. You know, giving is grace. Giving is a grace. If you lived in the Old Testament days, Miss Elsie, they'd come to you and say, Miss Elsie, we noticed that you had 6 oxen this year. We noticed that you haven't come to the temple yet and given one of those oxen to the Lord. You've had 22 sheep this year, and we noticed that 6 more were born, and you have 28, and you haven't given any of those to the temple. How would you like the preacher to come to your house, man? Oh, goodness. I would not want to be that kind of preacher. I would not want to be the guy that pressures you into giving the Lord. There used to be pressure on giving in the Bible. It was a command. And it was something you did because if you didn't, they would let you know. Matter of fact, at times, they would say that your sins aren't even forgiven this year if you don't give. good night. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And we live in an age of grace. And God has been so good to us. And so today I'm not here to pressure you. I'm here to draw to your attention that the church has needs. That over the last several weeks, we've been so far under budget that we are in deep poverty in some areas of the church. That we have a stack of bills waiting, and we are $3,300 behind on our budget to pay some of those things. This is not something that I'm pressuring you today. This is not something I'm drawing your attention to. Our obligation as God's people in this church, that our giving is not excused. It is not eliminated by our poverty. I realize that your standard of living might change. But I'm praying that your standard of giving will never change for the Lord. The giving grace is not going to be energized by pressure. I'm not going to pressure you. This sermon might feel like pressure, but I'm not here to pressure you. I'm here to point you to the cross and what Jesus Christ did for us. I'm here to show you that God has been so good to each and every one of us. And there's not people here that are richer than you and they can handle all the giving. We all are responsible for God's house. We are responsible for what God has given us. But it is not energized by pressure. Number three, it is not excused by our performance. I'm the pastor. I don't have to give. I give my life here. No, I'm still responsible to give just like you. It's still an obligation for me to serve. It's an obligation for me to give of my time. It's an obligation for me to read my Bible. It's an obligation for me to tell others about the Lord. And none of that is connected to my giving. We all are responsible. Our giving is not excused by our performance. Now listen, there's a great opportunity to give. It encourages the saints, the Bible says, when we give. It exalts the Savior when we give. And we could talk about all of these things. Like I said, we could spend weeks and weeks on the matter of giving. But I'm just here to plead with you today. That if in the poorest time of the church's history in the first century, those churches at Macedonia gave out of their deep poverty and gave liberally, surely we can see that in America, none of us are in deep poverty. We might say, I don't have a lot. We don't understand deep poverty. We have to sacrifice some things here around the church, but I probably need to back up and say, we don't have deep poverty here. God has been good to us. The air is on this morning. The lights are bright. The parking lot's clean. The grass is mowed. The walls are painted. Everybody was in their classes this morning. The doors were open. The buses ran. There was gas for the vehicles. We are a blessed people. And all I'm saying to you today is, please pay attention to these things. Your obligation to give to God is just like my obligation to give to God. We're serving. We're doing all we can. We're going into vacation Bible school this week. And I pray that God's people would see, not by pressure, not because of their poverty, not because of their performance, but God's people would give. The Bible says, and perform the doing of it. God love it, the cheerful giver. It is more blessed to give than to receive. May God help us to give by grace in the days ahead. Let's stand together for a word of prayer this morning.